Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
The following includes conversation relating to cryptocurrency. The information provided and discussed is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. Any use of any information is done so at your own risk. DV Radio LLC, as well as the hosts and guests of the show, take no responsibility if you wish to use any of the information in your daily life. Again, the topics discussed are strictly for informational and educational purposes only.
I am Chris, the CEO.
My name is Paul. I'm the COO.
I am Chris, a.k.a. Little Chris, the Chief Technical Officer.
My name is Zach.
I'm the Chief Marketing Officer, better known as the WEN Marketing Officer, because it never gets done, right?
Affinity. Hour-long show, we will talk about Affinity, crypto in general, DeFi, blockchain technology, and just talk about anything, whatever the hell we feel like talking about.
Get to know us at a little more personal level.
Babbling nonsense.
Is there cursing rules or anything?
No, you say whatever the fuck you want.
I think they'd be more worried if you didn't curse.
Love these guys.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Affinity Protocol. You are listening here live on Tuesday night. Again, I know we're normally here on Sunday mornings. This is the second time we did this on a Tuesday. Now, I actually kind of like it. I hope I don't get used to this. But this time, it's due to technical difficulties. I'll get into that in a minute. But first, I do want to let you all know we do have the usual cast of clowns. I mean, characters and crew here. Paul, Chris, Zach. We do have a guest today, Jeremiah. So we're going to have, some good conversation with everybody on the panel today. We'll talk about, lots of different things. But first, I'm going to tell my story in a second, but I want to give everybody an opportunity to say hello. Jeremiah, if you want to introduce yourself as well, let everybody know who you are, where you're from, what you do. Go ahead. Whoever wants to go ahead, jump right in.
Yeah, sure. Can you guys hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, yeah, my name is Jeremiah. I am the CEO of Nanomatic. We recently launched a little over a month ago. We had just hit 1.1 million market cap today. So we are pretty excited. I'm really glad to be able to talk to you guys as well and have our little partnership going. And I just wanted to announce that we added Affinity to our swap that we recently released. So if anybody's watching and you go to our swap, you can see that we recently listed at Affinity and can utilize that. So definitely go check it out. So that's swap.nanomatic.io.
Perfect. Thanks, man. Good to have you.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Is everybody
I'm here?
We got you in the house.
it's been a crazy couple of weeks, man. Like I just said in the text group before we got started here. You know, COVID ripped through my fucking house and then I somehow didn't get it. And then, everybody got a cold, started feeling better, and then the kid was getting better slowly, so we called the doctor, and the doctor was basically like, look, y'all chug NyQuil like it's Natty Light. Your kid can't do that. It's going to take him longer to get better. So we kept getting this cough, and then daycare the last couple of days came out and said that, like, half of the preschool kids are out from strep throat, so we just got him tested today, and he's got strep throat. Now the wife has clapped again, so man, my household's been sick since like fucking March. Late February, March, some shit like that. I don't know.
Of what? 2020?
But I'm like, again, like I didn't get sick. Like I'm perfectly fine. Like other than having really bad allergies, like to everything that grows that is green, my immune system is on fucking point. And if it wasn't for modern medicine, I think my wife would have gone to natural selection like a while ago.
Yeah, I've had COVID like 6 times.
Damn.
I had it once that I know of.
I ain't got it once.
I mean, the first time I got it was bad, but after that, it was just like a cold every other time. I couldn't really tell. I think there was one time after I got it, it was kind of bad, but the first time was definitely the worst.
No doubt.
Yeah, COVID and strep throat ripping through my house and not a damn thing happens. You bring a houseplant inside though, man, I'm done.
All fucking muted. Did you experience COVID like everybody else did?
What?
I was curious if you experienced COVID like everybody else did, like in regards to the symptoms.
Oh, I didn't. I just felt like I had the flu. I didn't like lose my taste. I didn't lose any of that.
Yeah, I didn't lose taste or anything either. It was just like a flu for me.
Man, Chris, did you have taste to begin with? Let's be real.
Oh, I got taste. Man, you talk about Natty Lights and then you're going to question my taste?
That's true.
That's right. You do have taste because you taste ketchup in everything.
Yeah, that's true. No, I actually kind of don't, man. I don't know, man. I'm weird with flavors. Like, I think I said this before, but I could probably do very well in like Ireland and England and stuff because I know they're not well known for their spices and flavoring. Everything's kind of bland.
Nah, man, you over UK, man. They got that HP sauce, man. Yeah. That shit good.
Oh, shit.
But Lucas, is he here? Probably not, right?
Nah, he's always here. He just kind of
in the shadows.
I can see he's muted. Chris, unmute yourself, damn it.
I always feel like he's just going to like appear one day. You know what I'm saying? Just like show up my house. He's like, here I am, motherfucker.
Start talking on your mic for the podcast.
Straight up. I'm like, oh, shit. What the hell?
All right, Chris ain't got to talk. Let me give the quick rundown of what happened for Sunday. It's going to be quick. So we did have some technical difficulties. Well, I had some technical difficulties. Strange shit happened. So all I did was walk away. That's all I did. I walked away, went to go use the restroom, get a drink, let the dog out, come back. No sound coming out the headphones. Everything else working. I can see the sound coming into, I have a Go XLR for sound mixing. I can see the sound coming in. I can talk through my mic. Everybody can hear me. Everything's working fine. Just nothing coming through the headset. Cannot figure out what the hell's going on. I plug the headset directly into the computer. Works fine. Plug other shit into the Go XLR. Works fine. The two would not work. Play nice together. So eventually I ended up just uninstalling everything. Uninstalling all the software, just doing a reset on the Go XLR, hooking everything back up. Still didn't work, but the symptoms were a little different. So I was like, all right, I know I'm getting somewhere. I'm not a sound person, right? You can say, oh, well, you know, you work on computers, technology, it's all the same. Hell no. When it comes to sound, there's a reason there is a career path called sound engineer. It is different. It is not, you can't say because you work on computers, you know sound. There's a million cables and all kinds of shit going on. And this thing is interacting with about two or three different pieces of hardware. And then about five different pieces of software on my computer, trying to get them all to play nice.
Sounds like you suck.
I do suck. But I finally,
that's what he unmutes for right there too. Just so you know,
some
man.
Bullshit.
He was waiting. He was waiting to see exactly when he could come in. And that was when he chose to slide.
So after doing all that and realizing I'm getting somewhere, I went back and retraced all the different cables that I was doing. I did have a cable out of place, plugged it in, good to go. We're here, we're rock and rolling tonight. So glad we can get Affinity Protocol going. That's the story. Was I fast enough?
Could have been better, but we'll work on it. That's why you don't do elevator pitches.
Nah, I don't. Oh, man. So, all right.
Now I was about to say, you had a little topic in mind today, now, didn't you?
I did. And I think this is great because, you know, we have a guest too. So it'll be good to get another perspective on things, even though I'm sure a lot of it we're going to share the same sentiments, but I want to hear different information. But a big, big topic right now, especially surrounding crypto, the markets in general, and kind of in our government right now is regulation, right? I don't know how many of you watched the Gary Gensler getting grilled in front of Congress.
Yeah. Grilled is an understatement there, dog.
That was magnificent.
it was great. My only thing is, I don't know how many of you have watched, like, Mark Zuckerberg and what's his nuts from Twitter, Jack Dorsey, go in front of Congress. Like, they don't do anything. There's a lot of grandstanding, a lot of show.
Have you guys seen the TikTok CEO go up against Congress?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, they don't know shit.
They don't know what they're talking about. I mean, but at least I think that it was actually a committee or a subcommittee that was...
Yes.
That specifically that was talking to him, and it seemed like they were pretty well informed that they actually knew what they were talking about, which is very uncommon. So,
yeah, and on that note, I'm going to play a little bit of a clip from that. I'll stop in between. We can talk a little bit about it. But this is a clip from Senator McHenry kind of giving Gary the once-over. So Listen, I'll pause it and we can talk about what the hell happened.
Ether is one of the most popular digital assets and powers the Ethereum blockchain. Back in 2018, then SEC Corporation Finance Director Bill Hinman stated that he believed Ether was not a security. Last month, CFTC Chair Benham expressed his view that Ether is a commodity. The State Attorney General of New York asserted in a court filing last month that Ether is a security. Clearly, an asset cannot be both a commodity and a security. Do you agree?
It's actually all securities are commodity under the Commodity and Exchange Act. It's that we are excluded commodities. But I would agree that a security cannot be also an excluded commodity and an included commodity. I'm sorry, Chair, just to talk about the Commodity Exchange Act more precisely.
Okay. So do you recognize, how would you categorize Ether then?
I think that the general sweep of what Congress did, not just in the 30s, but as amended.
I'm asking you, sitting in your chair now, to make an assessment under the laws as exist, is Ether a commodity or a security?
Without speaking to anyone.
I know you've repeatedly said you're not going to speak to one.
All right.
Anybody else cringe every single time he says Ether?
Yes.
Like, come on, at least, like, look at the paperwork that's in front of you, dog. Come on.
Right. So.
Not that hard.
This is crazy to me because Gary is like, he's all about trying to, you know, impose, which, by the way, I just realized that I was not broadcasting that to DV radio in the recording, so my apologies. When I start again, it will. What's crazy to me is he's always so certain. They're suing people. They're targeting all these different crypto companies and whoever the hell individuals. But when he gets asked questions, simple questions, just is it a security or is it not? He cannot answer this shit.
Weird. It's a very basic and straightforward form. I mean, I can't say it's weird. It's fucking a U.S. politician. I mean, this is exactly how they dance around anything that they're asked. But I mean,
it's because he hasn't gotten the playbook yet to know how to answer.
But this is such a straightforward question, though, right? It's almost like a yes or no answer. It's really, really hard to dance around it without looking like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and he's not wrong. And to back up a little bit, the whole purpose of the SEC is to protect investors, right? Like, that's like their number one thing is protect investors, you know, make sure that the markets are running and they're fair and that nobody's getting screwed over and nobody's scamming, and that kind of thing. Now, I get it. We definitely need some oversight because there are a lot of ways that, especially people that are not very in tune to investing and all that, can get screwed real bad. But when we have that discussion about big government versus small government, this is one of those things where you have to decide what is too much, what's enough, what is not enough. And there is some oversight needs to be done to protect people, but Gary has taken it to another level, unilaterally too, because whether you know this or not, the SEC cannot impose any rules that are not already set by in law by Congress. They can't make up their own rules and laws. Congress has to do that. SEC just imposes them or regulates them.
Or enforces them.
Yeah, enforces them. Thank you. So it's crazy. And he even goes on in not in this clip, but he talks in a later part of his grilling that it's been since like the 1930s that a lot of these SEC laws and rules and regulations have been written and put in motion.
That's just dumb.
Like, a lot of shit's changed since then, man. Anybody else got anything else before I press on? This is a 4-minute total video. We're about a minute and a half in.
I want the next clip.
All right.
Except you've spoken to one, Bitcoin. So I'm asking you to speak to a second one, the second largest market cap here.
And speaking to the tokens, there's 10 to 12,000. If there's a group of entrepreneurs in the public is anticipating a profit based on the...
I'm asking a specific question, Chair Gensler. I said this in private. This should be no shock to you. I'm asking this question. Is Ether a commodity or a security?
And again, it depends on the facts and the law. And if there's a group of individuals.
I'm asking about the facts and the law sitting in your seat and the judgment you are making.
And so, Mr. Chair, I think you would not want me to prejudge because I'm also.
But you have prejudged on this. You've taken 50 enforcement actions. We're finding out as we go, as you file suit, as people get Wells notices on what is a security in your view, in your agency's view. I'm asking you a very simple question about the second largest digital asset. What is your view?
I'm going to stop there. What you guys got?
I mean, he's just dancing around the question like an idiot, man.
The problem is that Gary is that he locks himself into a lot of traps, and throughout pretty much the whole time, he clearly, the Congress or whoever, or this person that's questioning him, clearly had specific questions with facts already in mind, expecting him to respond the way he did. So it's kind of embarrassed him, honestly.
Well, that's the truth part of it, too, is because he's specifically saying that, like, yo, there's lawsuits coming out. So, like, you know, if you want to refer to something like case law type thing that goes outside of, like, interpretation of what is written type thing, you know, this typically where case law is deprived from. But if you take something like that and you're saying, okay, well, I'm trying to build case law to prove or disprove interpretation. Well, he's point blank asking your interpretation that gives you the authority to even start these lawsuits, and they can't even answer that.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's just silly. It's just, you know, if he's going to take enforcement actions and sue based on what ETH is, then he should know what ETH is, you know?
Not Ether.
Yeah, exactly. And you both nailed it, too, because that to me, when I watched this and watched, I don't know, I think I watched for about an hour and a half live, and the whole time I'm thinking, how the hell are we supposed to know what the regulations are and how to make sure we're in line with regulation? Like he constantly says, make sure you're in line with the regulation. If he can't even explain what the hell they are, like he's the head of the SEC.
You can't sit there and provide class action lawsuit or, you know, any kind of litigation if you can't define what the rules are. That's like saying, hey, go play football, but there's new rules. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm just going to tell you when you broke them.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw flags, you know, whenever a rule's broken, but I'm not going to tell you what they are. Yeah, that's pretty much the, if I took one thing away from the entire hearing, that's the biggest thing I took away from is he has absolutely no idea what the rules are, but he is damn sure set in enforcing them because he actually talks about them being cops on the beat. And that's a quote from him, that they are cops on the beat enforcing laws that they don't even know what they are.
Yeah. Well, those are definitely American cops.
Are we going to play more clips?
I got another minute and a half of this one. Yeah, let me finish this one up. All right, I'm going to throw the last minute and a half of this.
And my view is if there's a group of individuals in the middle that the public is
all right. So let me just ask a second question. Do you think it serves the market for an object to be viewed by the commodities regulator as a commodity and the securities regulator to be viewed as a security? Do you think that provides safety and soundness for the product? Do you think it provides consumer protection? Do you think it serves the value of innovation? I think no should be a very simple answer for you here.
I think
that uncertainty is bad, is it not?
And I think that Congress has said that there's one agency, the Securities and Exchange Commission, under this committee.
And you won't answer my question, and you're the head of that agency. So give me a break. Come on.
I'm answering it in the generic because you would not want me to speak about any one set of facts and circumstance.
Okay, so, but you've already spoken. Have you said anything about Bitcoin?
My predecessors and the agency itself has spoken to them.
Okay, but you're not willing to do the same about Ether. So let me just step back. There's a lack of clarity here in the marketplace. Can you at least agree to that?
I think that the clarity is there. The law is clear.
All
that
right.
There's a group so of individuals
who are relying. Let me be explicit about this. The market doesn't see it. Your regulatory actions and the CFTC's regulatory actions say that there's a great deal of uncertainty here. It is the intention of this committee to fix that uncertainty and actually provide sound legal basis for this.
Right. That's the end of that clip. Again.
Sure. Jeremiah, did you have other clips that you want to add to it?
The one clip that I found the most interesting was when they referenced the statements that the SEC was pushing out and kind of using them almost as law and enforcing on statements when they don't have the authority to do that.
You don't happen to have a link to that, do you?
Yeah, let me pull it up. I'll find it.
Yeah, pull that up. In the meantime, right at the end there, he reiterated exactly what we're saying, right? That the laws are clear, but he doesn't want to speak to them because he wants to be generic. And, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's the whole point of that entire line of questioning is to get rid of the ambiguity so that you can have a direct answer to give to the consumer. Not to make it even more confusing, but continue to say, well, you're still going to get in trouble if we find you out of line when we clearly have not defined the line.
Yeah, while I'm actually doing this, can one of you guys do me a big favor? Can somebody pull up Binance US's Twitter and read? I think it was like their third tweet down. They actually did a statement on this, and they're backing out of a $1 billion deal over it.
Really?
Yeah, I definitely recommend pulling that up.
Let's see here. I'm on it right now. Third one down.
They were buying.
I see it.
Voyager. That's 6 hours ago, right?
Yeah. I see it. Let me read that for you. It says, Binance US has made the difficult decision to exercise its right to terminate the asset purchase agreement with Voyager. While our hope throughout this process was to help Voyager's customers access their crypto in kind, the hostile and uncertain regulatory climate in the United States has introduced an unpredictable operating environment impacting the entire American business community. We are focused on creating a safe platform where our customers can participate in the digital asset economy.
So Voyager getting hit again.
And the customers, right?
Coinbase is thinking about leaving the U.S. too. They just got their license in Bermuda.
But that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the SEC action was actually against Coinbase, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think some of the latest was initially. Yeah, it looked like they were kind of steer away.
Yeah, I think they got a Wells letter, right?
Yep, they did.
Or a Wells notice.
Yep, they definitely did. That was the latest. That's kind of, I think, what pushed them over the edge and why they're suing the SEC now because of it, which I hope does a lot of good because they're suing them for clarity. So, what the shit?
Yeah, the problem is,
you want to ambiguously sue? We can do that too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think the problem really is that, you know, the courts shouldn't even need to be involved. It should be something that's easily defined by Congress to start and then reinforced by the SEC or reinforced by the commodities. So, kind of a.
Yep.
Yes. Definitely shouldn't even need to go this far to where people are suing each other over it.
No, and like with Binance and with, potentially Coinbase or whoever, if you're in the U.S., yeah, it is a pretty hostile market, and it's pushing things overseas. So it's not really like getting rid of it. It's not saying, oh, well, you know, we're the regulators and we're going to force crypto to go away. No, you're just going to force the money and the revenue and the innovation and the products and the development and the jobs to leave the country. But you're not going to make it go away. So it's, and I think that's something that a lot of people do recognize, a lot of businesses and even some government agencies. I can't believe I'm saying that, but some government agencies, I think, do recognize that. But I don't think Gary gives a shit. And that's why, in my opinion, I think we're going to see the end of him by the end of the year. I hope sooner. But I think by January 1st, he'll be gone.
Oh, I don't think he's going to last that long, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's been grilled before. This isn't his first time in the hot seat. I think about a year ago, he was grilled similarly. It wasn't as strict. I mean, this time they were pretty pissed off. But you have to think of where this comes from. There's a lot of money involved.
Yes.
There's a lot of business moving overseas, obviously. And that's just not good. we are in a very delicate situation right now with just politically in the climate right now with China and other countries kind of banding together and dropping the US dollar. And with that happening and then also crypto moving overseas or large companies threatening to move overseas over the regulatory kind of waters in the US, there's a lot of pressure on Congress to act. So I don't know if the sad part is I don't think it's really coming necessarily from them, but coming from big money that's kind of pushing this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much how any real decision happens in the government, right? It's whoever's lining whoever's pockets and putting the decisions or whatever in people's heads to push forward. So I agree, and that's exactly what's happening. And hopefully, you know, it's strange because we're like rooting for big money to win, but you know, at the same time, if that's what's going to cause this movement to happen and kind of add that fuel to drive it and get him the hell out of office and allow innovation expansion to happen in blockchain and crypto, then, you know, so be it.
I think this is just a wake up call up on the hill for stuff like this. You don't realize how bad it is until you get a hearing in a line of questioning like this where someone really can't answer the hard questions. And it's not going to, like you said, we're hoping that it's, you know, sooner than the end of the year. Obviously, it's not going to happen quickly, but this is, I think, going to be the catalyst that kind of marks the beginning of the end.
Yeah, and you also have to think, how much control does Gary really have over the SEC? I mean, yeah, he's the chairman. He oversees the entire agency, but he's just one person. So there could be a lot going on underneath him that he just doesn't have control over, which isn't an excuse, but I'm sure that there's more to the story.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. And there was a comment in our Twitch chat right now about getting the old, and I'm paraphrasing here, about getting the old dinosaurs out of government to really, really help things. And yeah, 100%.
Well, yeah, I mean, the people have to know what's going on. They have to understand technology and technologies and around them. They have to understand innovation to make decisions on it, right? And the problem is a lot of congressmen and congresswomen don't really understand, and they rely on lobbyists to tell them, you know, what's going on. I mean, honestly, the reason that all of these old people are in Congress is because it's by design. It's exactly what big money wants. They want people in those seats that don't know. Because when somebody doesn't know something, it's really easy to convince them of.
Oh, yeah. But,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 As soon as you just say, all right, well, I'll give you money and power, all you have to do is do what I ask you to say and, you know, all that, then of course.
Well, it's also an investment too. They want them long term, because if they can lobby and get what they want from them, it's a long term investment.
Yeah.
You have limited terms where it's going to be a new face in that chair. You got to play by a different set of rules almost to get what you want from whoever's going to be sitting there.
And then you also have the insider trading, like Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's straight calling out Pelosi here on Affinity Protocol. Yeah. We're going to be shut down, people. It was a nice ride. Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think majority of politicians participate in it. I think that there's definitely an issue there. So I don't see the SEC taking action on that.
Exactly, right?
But God forbid a Peppy coin goes to 100 million. That was SEC's pissed.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And you know, just a side note on that without getting too sidetracked. Just be careful out there, everybody. Make your money. But just be goddamn careful. You know, it looks like some alts are coming back up.
Yeah, that was definitely not me telling anybody to buy Bitcoin. Yeah. So, don't take my advice on that.
Yeah,
just not financial advice. There was a disclaimer at the front.
Leave me alone, Gary. But yeah, just be careful out there. Do whatever you want to do, but you know, make sure you make your money and you know, just be careful. Because I think there was one And I caught wind of it today. I think earlier today I was reading through, and I'm not gonna call out, you know, a bunch of names and shit. You guys can do your own research and find out. But there was, I guess, a duplicate that launched on another new chain that came out, and a lot of people bought into it, and it rugged. I'm not sure what the losses were. I'm not sure any of that, but apparently it was like, it was being marketed as like a clone of the Pepe token. And I think it was even promoted by the team that owns that chain. And then it ended up rugging. So yeah, be careful. Bad shit out there.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, what's the very last thing I expected was that thing to rug, guys. Like, I really thought that that was like the project.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. And you know, because it is, it's really hard. It's like when you're gambling and you see, you know, a bunch of people going on a hot streak, or you see like, oh, you know, make sure you play this line or this horse is going to be the one that's going to win. And then everybody gets in on it and then they're pissed off that they lost. Or, you know, you just see something happen and you want to be part of it. You see it as opportunity. Everybody wants opportunity, and our patience has grown thin. Crypto has taken patience away from people.
it's pretty astounding how people are, I mean, even in my own project, it's like win moon, win this, win that. I'm working on it, guys.
You're never going to hear the end of that.
No. Nope. And that's the thing. And since we're talking about regulation, that's kind of the leg that Gary tries to stand on, is when there is an expectation of profit from the people that are invested or own the commodity or whatever terminology you want to use, based on the performance of the people that are behind it. That's how it gets labeled an equity. I'm sorry. Right. Security.
So let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think of calling, what are your thoughts on holders versus investors? Do you guys think that somebody who buys a token or a coin is invested into that project? If it's built under an actual company and a company launches a coin or a token, do you guys think that somebody who buys that and holds a certain amount of the supply should have some form of ownership or say in what the company does?
No.
Not at all?
None. I think they, in my opinion, I think they should have say as to what happens with the token itself. So if there's going to be changes in the tax, or if it's going to be utilized in a certain product, or you know, things like that, or if you're the type of project that allows private buys or private sales to happen, like, those are things that they absolutely, in my opinion, should have a say in. But as far as having a say into the company trajectory or things like that, now, by all means, that doesn't mean you can't voice your opinion, right? Opinions are always warranted, but should it hold water based on the fact that you're holding tokens?
Right.
No, because that's where it starts to blur the lines and really break into that security aspect.
Well, and I think that's where, you know, we specifically have kind of drawn that line, so to speak, because the other part of that puzzle too is what is profits for the project, the token project, is that being funneled to the company or is it being funneled back to the project? Right. And we've, like with us, we've attempted to make that distinction where any revenue that comes in from the token is circulated back to the token. We don't see any of that as a company. We have other sources to get funds for the company. Anything that's made from the token itself goes right back into the token.
Right. Yeah. It just brings a lot of questions, right? Like, we have, you know, Bitcoin doesn't operate under anything. It's totally decentralized. It doesn't have a company, so to speak. It doesn't operate. Then we have, you know, companies that launch tokens as a way. And a lot of these, and I think this is where the lines blur, right? If you're launching a token to raise money for a project, to raise money for something you want to do, but you want people under you to kind of fund it, so to speak. So you launch a token, you do your thing, you build things out, you have a kick butt ecosystem. To me, that's where the lines blur. But like you guys said, if you're taking the money that you get from the token, and that's only the token, and you separate that from your business, then absolutely. But if you're using all of the funds that you raise from putting a token on, you know, a DEX or whatnot, or launching a token for your project, then to me, so people just invested in what you're doing.
Yes. Yes. And that's where it can be labeled as a security, because now, and I'm not necessarily against the term investor, because I believe that you can invest in the asset, which is the token, but you're not invested in the company. You have to buy equity in the company to be invested in the company. You're invested in the product, which is the token. And the way we like to operate things is the token itself is a product that interacts with other products. So you're investing in the product line. So by owning the token, you're investing in the product line and all the products that we release, not Affinity, not in me, not in Paul, Chris, or Zach, but the actual products that are released, including and are exclusive to the token itself.
Right. And that makes more sense than what I, and I see it all the time where people will launch to raise money for a project. You know, they'll, I mean, we see it every day in DeFi. Yeah. They rug it and then, you know, they take the money and there, that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it does get interesting when you have, let's say, LP and your, most of your money's in the LP. And then you have whales that have a significant portion of supply. And you kind of, it is to an extent where you kind of have to, knowing how much supply they hold, you have to kind of cater to them. And that's where it starts to get kind of interesting, when it kind of blurs the lines at that point. Because then if somebody owns a portion of the supply where they can significantly damage your chart, it's almost like if somebody owns your stock, you kind of have to listen to them, knowing what the outcome could be if you just told them to kick rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I think that's kind of, it's a sticky situation, because in the end, it's more about protecting the other people and doing what's in the best interest of the other people that are also holders as well by doing that. And again, it comes down to just being a good person, right? And a good leader and a good, you know, owner and operator of a product by listening to people, you know, without doing something that you wouldn't normally do anyway. Like, one thing I would disagree with anybody that would think a certain way is, if you're going to do something that you wouldn't normally do, or release a product or make a change in something specifically because larger holders are pressuring you to do that, I would caution against that, because then you'll always have that hanging over you, you know, rather than just saying, hey, you know what, it's going to hurt for a bit, but we got to let them go. They're going to sell. It's going to hurt. We're going to feel the pain, but, you know, we got to move on and do what's best interest for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's definitely hard to make those decisions, especially.
Yep.
When you don't know what's going to happen after, you know?
Yep. Especially early on. Like, I know you said about a month ago you launched.
Yeah, we launched a little over a month ago now, the 17th of March. So.
Yeah, that's
pretty early on.
Yep. So that's, yeah, in the early stages too. Yeah, that's a little difficult. Yeah, I get that. But one thing that you kind of touched on that we have seen a lot, I haven't seen too much of it lately, but we did see a lot of it probably about maybe 6 months to a year ago, where people were launching and it was almost, whether they were saying it or not, making it public, it was almost exclusively to raise money. And that is a problem, in my opinion. And I would see that that's a problem in regulation as well. Whether or not they'll ever get tapped with that, I don't know. But that is definitely crossing the line into being labeled as a security, because now you're actually taking money from people that bought a product or bought a, you know, invested or purchased an asset or whatever it may be. And now you're utilizing that money directly directly from them to now run your business and operate your business. That's a fundraising round. You know, that's exactly how fundraising rounds go when you're
that's
offering
a fundraising round in the crypto community.
Exactly. You know, ICOs, IPOs, like it's like the same shit. And that's where it's like, you got to understand what you're doing and, or dipping into liquidity. It's the same thing. You're really kind of utilizing other people's money to run your business. Now, what I will say is kind of along the same lines, but a little bit grayer. And some people choose to do this. We don't. And if they do, as long as they're transparent about it, I have no problem with it. But some people do sell their own token in order to raise money to operate their business.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a couple of different ways you can do a private sale.
Yep.
You know,
and I even mean, the sale of the token, to me, if the tokens were issued to you by yourself when you did it, that I don't like either, because to me, it's almost the same as just, you might as well just taking the money, right?
Right, yeah, I mean.
But if you buy them on the open market and then sell them later on, still not the greatest optics to kill your chart a little bit or haul your chart, but at least you bought them on the open market.
Right.
I think there's one more clip, right?
Did you send it?
Oh, shoot. I forgot. Let me grab that right now.
Yeah. So when it comes to regulation, there's no clarity. There's rules being enforced that are, the one thing that's really good about this hearing too is, hopefully, it'll allow companies and individuals that are, you know, getting scrutinized or getting sued or whatever by SEC to at least lean on it, you know, and potentially their lawyers using some of this as evidence to bring into the courtroom and you know, use it for their defense or whatever it may be, because this is asinine.
You said ass.
Ass. Speaking of ass, Chris, you gonna unmute at some point tonight, other than to talk shit to me?
I was gonna say he did, man. He unmuted and ripped on you immediately.
I guess that's a no.
He's waiting. He's biding his time.
He's like, man, if we're not talking about development, I'm gonna stay quiet.
Everything was boring to him.
Nah, he's lying, though. We talked regulation.
That's true. That's right at those athletes. He like started with that shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he started at Last Affinity Protocol, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Giving us homework, having us go look things up.
How much more Tucker Carlson getting fired?
Yeah, him and Lemon, huh? Same day?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, huh?
Two biggest voices on opposing networks. Come on. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a weird time. Very weird time.
Yep. It's definitely crazy. And, you know, we'll see what comes out of all this bullshit. But I have high hopes. I think, honestly, in my opinion, whether, like we talked about with Gary, if he's just the mouthpiece or if he's the one being the asshole or not. I think the day that he is gone, whether he resigns or gets forced out, in my opinion, is going to be a very good day for the markets. Very, very good day for the markets.
I mean, I hate to say it, but at least for crypto, either way, it's a push where it's a right step. It's a step in the right direction to get answers. Because at this point, we don't have answers. And we've been waiting on answers for how fucking long now?
Yeah.
So even if it's, excuse me, even if it's an undesirable outcome, the answer we're not looking for, at least we will have an answer. That way, all of these projects that have invested, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, not even just money, but, you know, the time and the effort into it will know the right direction that they need to be going and be able to pivot and get stuff done and continue to thrive as they have been for the last few years. Because all we want at this point are answers. Obviously, we wanted to come out in our favor. That'd be great. A whole lot easier to operate. But just for fuck's sake, give us an answer.
Yeah, because even if we want to fight, right, you want to fight against some of the regulation, we don't know what to fight against. right? We don't know who to contact, you know, whoever, and say, hey, I don't like this, because we don't know what it is that we don't like.
It's like whenever we play Rust and it's nighttime and it's just pitch fucking blackout and you have no idea what just hit you.
Yeah, you're like, that thing sucked, but I don't know what it is, so I don't know what to bitch about. Not the best analogy, but it's close. It was good.
I mean, it works, man. It just shows the general frustration, all right?
It's just as convoluted as the laws. Oh, shit.
I don't know if you guys can see the message. I tried sending it in the Discord chat, but it says it's failing to load on my end.
Well, you got it. You can DM it to me.
Yeah, let's DM it.
I'll go ahead and load it up. Get us one final clip.
This one, I think, is really, really gross and bad. Gotta listen to this one.
Hey, you don't have to be quiet because I'm waiting on a link.
Oh, no, the anticipation is killing me.
Well, I thought it was about to play. I ain't gonna lie. I thought it was waiting for it to start.
I'm waiting on the link.
I thought you were faster than that, Chris. Come on.
I don't have the link yet.
Oh, it must be because you still ain't put that RAM in your computer I gave you, huh?
Oh, shit.
I feel like that laptop I gave you. Oh, yeah, the laptop I gave you had more RAM than what's in your machine at home, right?
It does. You did send it. Why the hell didn't it pop up and say I had a new message?
Oh, we've been waiting on you, dude.
He sent it.
My damn Discord never said I had a new message. We've been waiting on you. Mad slow.
Man. All right, here we go. You guys ready?
My understanding is that the biggest crypto failure in history is probably FTX at $9 billion. Were you the chairman of the SEC when FTX collapsed?
Yes.
The second biggest crypto failure in history was Terra Luna. Who was the chairman of the SEC when Terra Luna collapsed, sir?
We had brought...
You were, sir. Reclaiming my time, you were. There are 5 members on the commission. Do you believe your speeches and interviews are to serve as the official position of the SEC?
I can only speak for myself when I'm speaking.
Again, sir, in a statement on the SEC website, you are quoted saying the crack-staking as a service enforcement action should make clear to the marketplace that staking as a service providers must register. But again, you haven't provided any rules for how that can be done. I must remind you, your public statements are not regulations. It's not responsible to expect the American people to assume your statements are a substitute for rules.
No, I just think that's really important for him to mention that the way that the SEC is treating crypto right now is that they put up some statement on their website and they think it's law. That is not how a SEC works. That's not how it's ever worked. And they are definitely not, they don't have the authority to do that or operate that way. And they're overstepping.
Exactly. And that's the biggest point, is that they can't, right? Yep. And we got to... Unfortunately, we got to wait for Congress to actually put out some. I know they're giving him a lot of shit, and they should. They should give him a lot of shit for imposing, like doing exactly what you just said. But at the same time, Congress needs to get off their ass and actually write the rules and regulations and laws so that way he can't come up, yeah, or the SEC themselves cannot come up with bullshit and just spit it out and try to come up with whatever rules they want.
Well, I think part of this too is that he's a scapegoat at this point, right? Like he's been terrible. There's literally nothing good that this guy has done during his tenure. He's been absolutely just a fucking nightmare. Yeah. So this might be the scapegoat where they're just like, look, we're gonna literally just hammer the living shit out of this dude on the stand. So we have a reason to get rid of him and have a reason to push Congress to do their fucking jobs.
Yep,
absolutely. And just to kind of give context on this, just for people listening, this in terms of, you know, why this is a problem, the SEC operates like every other agency. That's the SEC operates in a similar capacity to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. So what they're doing is they're putting statements out and they're saying that basically that's the law, this is what's happening, our statement says this. That would be no different than if the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency put something up and said, Tylenol's illegal, and starts arresting people for taking Tylenol. You know, it's no different than that. They cannot operate in that capacity. They have to go by whatever laws are set forth under them, and they cannot change that. They're completely overstepping, and it's insane what they're doing. It really is.
Now, that was a good analogy. Paul, did you write that down?
Man, I write shit down, man. Oh, hey, I'll write down notes like that for good analogies when you put that RAM in your computer. How's that sound?
All right, man, done.
All right, man, I'll show me a picture when you got it done, kid.
I really do think it's an age gap as well. As Nikki's saying, it really, you know, we're going to get the people like Chris out of office, you feel me?
Hey, man, there's probably, man, there's probably like 10 people in office that are my age or younger.
Double your age. Crazy.
That's a problem, too. You're old as fuck, kid.
We shouldn't have people who are, you know, in their 70s in office. You know, that's just an old way of thinking. I believe that there should be a term to everything.
Oh, and that's paramount when you look at just some of the memes, like, you know, someone putting out a tweet saying, like, you know, we've already deemed that the retirement age is 65 because people that are 65 and above typically can't really, you know, offer anything to the workforce. But our lawmakers are full of that age group.
Yes. Yeah. When salaries are $250,000 a year, but these individuals are making a few million a year, they're not going anywhere. Why the hell would you leave that?
I mean, you're not wrong. That's a pretty easy gig right there.
Yeah. That's a whole nother topic.
I'm just being honest with you right there, man. That's a pretty easy gig right there, man.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic. And they're considered government employees. So, you know, after they get their years in, they get retirement, they get full medical, they get all that shit. And they're making millions a year.
Don't they continue to collect salary for life anyways?
No, they have to actually retire. So they're considered just like any other GS position. Same thing they have to do. But they are vested just like any other GS position after 5 years. So they'll get something. But yeah.
You know what they can get? Fuck out of Congress. Yeah, exactly. Read my mind.
All right. On that note, we are coming into the last few minutes. I do want to allow time for any final thoughts from anybody on regulation or anything else. You know, especially I do want to give Jeremiah an opportunity to talk a little bit about what he's going on and some products that he's got in his pipeline, a little bit about more about that. So and then we go around. Anybody else got any final thoughts? And then we can wrap up this week's or this bye week's Affinity Protocol. Jeremiah, you want to take a few minutes, buddy?
Yeah, sure. So thank you guys for having me on today. I appreciate it. Just to go a little bit over the project for people that are listening, we are on the BSC chain. We're a deflationary token that reflects in Matic. So 10% of every buy and sell is given to holders in Matic. And it's distributed based on the percentage of the bag that you hold. So if you have 1% supply, every $1,000 transacted in volume, you'll get around $10. For our ecosystem, we have an object coming out. The swap already dropped. We have a V2 and a V3. The V3 is actually going to be its own DEX. So it won't be on PancakeSwap. It will have its own everything. So it's going to be great when we finally get that. And then the OpDex, which is going to be a decentralized options exchange. It's going to be the first of its kind. And the reason it's going to be the first of its kind is because it's going to actually reward holders. So there are a couple options. There's not many out there. Most of them are crazy expensive to use. This one is going to be free. And to use, it will just charge a fee when you transact on a buy or sell. So it's going to be really great when we finally get it up and running. I'm super excited about it. It's going to bring a lot of transparency to the option space, which is in my opinion, a total shit show. I mean, you have people on Robinhood, on Webull, and all these apps trading stuff. They don't understand that every time they transact anything on that platform, the reason it's free is because there's data is being sold to, you know, a hedge fund. And then the hedge fund is taking that data, knowing exactly how much they bought, and then using them as exit liquidity. So
yep.
it's super crazy that it's, you know, the SEC wants to take action on, you know, it's like the stuff that happens. And then they try to kick people out of retail saying, oh, you know, we gotta protect the little guys, you know. When in reality, the reason retail is getting fucked is because all their data is being sold. The people with money are three steps ahead of them before they even buy the fucking stock.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, definitely. I want to bring transparency to that space. I want to completely change that. It's totally bullshit that even happens. That's going to change, unless, you know, somebody kills me before I make it happen, but.
you don't know anybody that the Clintons know, do you? No, that's awesome. That's good stuff, man. And I really like that. I like trading options in the equity market. So, you know, I look forward to seeing what you end up developing. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that.
And no doubt. And Matt, I see a comment in there. I appreciate it. I got one vote already for presidency.
That's the only vote you're going to get.
I only got one. I actually did register in 2016, I think. Might have been 12.
Can I get everybody's opinion here? Do you guys think the OpJex is going to be Gary Gensler approved? Am I going to get a stamp or what?
Well, for your stuff?
Probably. Yeah, what do you think is going to happen?
No.
What do you think is going to happen to the OpJex when it goes across Gary's desk? Good old Gare.
So that's what I was going to ask you about, too, is have you thought about, like, not calling it options or referring to it as options? So we're going through that right now with developing a platform that's inspired by ETFs. But we don't want to call it ETF, even though I put that in a business plan, which I took down.
Yeah.
So, so I don't know if you had thought about that or did any research on that.
So the way that I plan on getting around regulation, and if I end up in, you know, jail or whatever, you guys will hear about it. But
we'll come visit you, don't worry.
The way that I plan on getting around regulation is releasing it as open source, making it basically like Bitcoin, like nobody will have access to it. It'll be completely locked down. It's not going to be under a company.
Yep.
And once the OpJex is released, that's how it's going to stay. So it's essentially going to be an open source platform that, you know, you just can't touch. I won't be able to touch it. Nobody will be able to touch it. It'll literally be just software that's out there. People can choose to use it if they want to or not. And that's how I'm going to kind of dance around the regulation. Cool. The same way Bitcoin did. So,
all right. I have a couple of questions for you. I'll take offline, but yeah, I want to pick your brain on a couple of things with that.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Appreciate that. Anybody else got anything else before we wrap this up?
No, sir.
Put that RAM in your computer, dog.
It'll get there. It's not 2024 yet, right?
And don't make me come over your house and do it myself. I'll close all your tabs.
I'm closing my tabs, bro.
I'm closing all of them.
Hey, Chris, you want to resurrect yourself and the show out or no? You want to go out with a bang?
Nah, I'm good.
This guy sucks.
I'm surprised he didn't just come over and be like, yo, I'm going to take that vote away for your presidency.
Oh, that's awesome, man. All right, thanks, Matt. Appreciate that. Thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. And Jeremiah, thank you for coming on and being a guest on our show. Everybody else on the team, except for Chris, thanks. Appreciate you. Love you guys.
And, except for Chris.
Have a great night, everybody.
Except for Chris.
Easy.
Appreciate you. We'll see you around. Take it easy. Till next time.
Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
That's all, folks.
Goodbye, motherfucker!